Sit down. Oh, you have to turn it on.
It's the yellow. Okay, there we go. Good evening, everybody. How you doing? As you know, my parents are on vacation for personal reasons. I'm not allowed to say it. I'll get in trouble. So we'll leave it alone. But anyway, we have a great speaker tonight in our children's pastor, Jared Kaiser. So you're going to get a great word. We're going to go ahead and pray and get right into it. So, Father God, I just thank you for the service tonight, Lord. I thank you for ushering in your presence. I thank you for the word that's going to be brought forth, the worship we're going to have, and I just thank you for the night. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, stand your feet with us tonight.
My eyes on your faithfulness.
place an altar. I'll make this place an altar. Sing, my soul will sing. My soul will make this place an altar. Make this place an altar. And sing, my soul will sing. My soul will make this place an altar. Make this place an altar. And sing, my soul will sing. My soul will make this place an altar. Make this place an altar. I enter the gates with nothing but praise. I want to magnify your worth. I want to bring you more than words. I enter the gates, come reckless with praise. I bring a heart that wants you first. give you praise. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Sing Jesus tonight. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Sing holy. Song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. He's worthy of every breath we could ever bring. We live for you, Lord. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Trust in you. We put our hope in you tonight. We believe, Lord, your word and what your word says, that you will take care of us. And I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust. I your name tonight. You're the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Lord, and we magnify you, God. You are worthy to be praised. God, we lift you up. There is no one like you. I want you to spend just a few minutes tonight just lifting your voice to speak out praises to him, our Savior, our King, our Redeemer, our Healer, our Comforter. He says he sends the Holy Ghost as a Comforter tonight. God, we thank you for your presence. God, in your presence, there's freedom. In your presence, there's healing, Lord God. In your presence, there's deliverance. Whatever you came for tonight, it's in his presence tonight. Lord, we worship you. We magnify you.
Announcements, but sitting on this pulpit is a prayer request, and I think this was a prayer request from Sunday because she's sitting here in church tonight. So we're all happy to see Miss Haley Smith in service. How you feeling? Good? No pain right now? Praise God, she's here. She's going to be healed, and it's going to be a speedy recovery. And from what I heard, there's still something good that came out of it in the form of lime green. So, I don't have a list of announcements, but since Jesse's here, and Isaiah's here, and Caleb, even though they know and already probably filled all this out, if you want to go to pump again, they're having a mini pump. What grade are you going into, buddy? Eighth grade. Okay, so you'll still be middle school, right? Fifth through eighth grade. So middle school, that's going to be the 17th through the 19th. If you want to go and you let them go, the registration's online this year. So you go to onlybelievethobmcc.org. You can find it there. If you need help, I'll show you how to get to it. But the cost is only $40. It's going to be Friday night to Sunday morning or to Sunday after church. If you need him to get a ride back here or anything, like, I'll be over there. So if let me know ahead of time. I'll bring him back if you want me to. But anyway, so if you want to come to that, that's there. But as far as anything else, I don't really know because I didn't get a list. So, without holding anything up, we're going to go ahead and let the children go down as Pastor Jared comes up here to do the offering and give a powerful message. And no, that's not speaking crazy faith. That's just normal faith because we know you got it.
All right. Thank you, Philip. Good evening, everybody. How's everybody doing tonight? Awesome. I see... We are in 4th of July mode. I think today was my last day of work. I imagine that people have either been off this week or getting ready to be off for maybe a three-day weekend, which is a blessing. Praise God for that. So it's good to be with you guys tonight. Let's take up our tithe and offering. So if you have tithe or offering to get out and to give to the Lord tonight, get it ready. And let's start to get our faith stirred to mix with that. So I just want to share something real quick, just an encouraging word about our giving of tithe and offering to God. And I know that we've all been touched by what we've been going through as a nation, I guess even as a world, this pandemic, the coronavirus, and so it's had an economic impact, I would say so, probably on all of us, in some way, shape, or form, or another. Well, you know what? I actually was laid off March 20th and finally went back to work on June the 1st. And I know that's not an unusual story in this time frame, but what is amazing about it is throughout that time, we, myself, Linda, our kids, experienced God's provision at an extraordinary level. See, I shared a message with our children last Sunday about wisdom in the time of trouble and about how God has what we need when we deal with something like that. And that's found in the book of James, chapter 1. And so it wouldn't make sense that you would come out on the other side of being laid off for 2.5 months better than what you would have been if you'd have been gainfully employed the whole time. That wouldn't really make sense, now would it? But you know what? That's actually what happened in our situation. Okay, Lynn and I are tithers. We are givers. We do sow seed. And we trust God. And I know that many of you in here do the same thing. So I just want to encourage you guys tonight that wherever you may be at, whatever situation you find yourself in throughout this challenging season, that God is faithful. And God has provision for each one of us. When we trust him and we live out his word and we walk by faith, it's amazing what God will do. I had work like the next day. Actually, I had somebody calling me before I even was actually laid off, before I even knew that I was going to be laid off. Hey, you want to come help me out? So for the first 5.5, 6 weeks that I'm waiting on unemployment to kick in, I had a place to be able to go and do some extra work to keep food on the table, to keep, you know, gas in the tank and keep some bills paid. And then we had a check show up in the mail unexpectedly. And then, of course, finally, we had unemployment and all this other stuff come in. I actually took a pay cut to go back to work. I mean, that there's something that seems a little bit backwards about that, but that was the truth. Now, I'm happy to be back to work. You know, I want to put my hand to the plow, and I want to do my part and provide for my family and trust God all at the same time. And I'm thankful for God's provision, that he did something beyond that I could do for myself. He did something supernaturally over and above what I could ask or imagine. And all the promises of a tither, we saw in motion. God protected us. God brought blessing to us. You know, he poured it out upon us, room enough that we were like, well, what are we going to do with this extra stuff? You know, I mean, that's crazy. But that's what God will do for us all, okay? He's not a respecter of persons. So I just want to encourage you guys tonight, as you give, know that your God is faithful, he loves you, and he is going to make supernatural provision in your life on your behalf. So let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father, I thank you for this night. Thank you for this time together. Lord, I thank you as we give our tithes and our offerings, God, that you would pour out, God, a blessing upon your people. You'd open up the windows of heaven, God. You'd rebuke the devourer for their sakes, God. You'd bring provision from the north, the south, the east, and the west, God. And even though it may not make sense in the world's eyes, God, to give in a time of recession or depression or in a time of what seems like a decrease in our personal finances, God, but we are trusting you. You are our source, God. We put our faith in you as we give tonight. We thank you for this, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Stand on your feet and bring your tithe and offering to the front. let's get into the Word tonight. If you guys got your Bibles, open up to the book of John. And we're going to go to chapter 11. But as we're turning there to John chapter 11, I want to just start with this statement, okay? And the statement is simply this. The most important person is in this room, okay? I know that tonight our pastors aren't here, okay? But the most important person is still in this room because the presence of Almighty God is here. Now, don't get me wrong. I absolutely love our pastors. I know you guys, too. I'm so thankful for who they are, for how they love us, how they serve us. We are well taken care of. We have amazing shepherds. They are gifts from God. And it's a blessing to them that we're at a place where we're mature enough to come to church, to the house of God with expectation, to know that we're going to still get something from our Heavenly Father, no matter what the vessel is, no matter who the source is, okay, because the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit is here with us tonight, and He is among us, and He is ready to move. He is ready to speak to our hearts right here, right now in this house. But before we go on, I just want to say a prayer over our pastors and just thank God for them and pray for them. That way they can be encouraged and rested up and be ready to continue on the journey with us. Amen. So Heavenly Father, we come before You in the name of Jesus, God. We lift up Pastors Phil and Regina, God. We're so thankful for them, Lord. God, I pray blessing upon them. I pray as they're off, God, I pray for rest. God, I pray for peace. God, I pray for healing, God. I pray for just a rejuvenation, God, within them, Lord, that You would stir them, God, and just prepare them for the journey ahead and just give them strength. Lord, we just pray that You'd pour out blessing upon their lives. We thank You for that. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so with that being said, I know the Holy Spirit is still the most important person in this room because He has to be, okay? Because I need Him to be, and so do you. Because my journey this week was a little unexpected because I got one of those amazing text messages from Pastor, like Tuesday afternoon or so. I'm sure many of you probably have received those here or there where it's just like, all says, hey, Jared, are you ready to be instant in season or out? I'm like, well, I'm at work. I'm sitting here thinking. I kind of put the phone down. I didn't respond right away. You know, heart's kind of racing a little bit. I'm like, okay, I got to answer this, but I'm trying to think about what could he possibly want? Like, what's possibly going on? Okay, but then, so I'm like, by faith, I will be. I'll be ready. And so he's like, good. You know, I want you to be able to share the Word on Thursday night. So I'm like, well, praise God. You know, I really didn't have anything particular kind of stirring within me, but as I prayed and sought God, then God gave me something for us all tonight. So we are going to dive into the Word, and tonight my message is simply this, the most important person. That's what we're going to talk about tonight, the most important person. So in John chapter 11, verse number 17, and it says, so when Jesus came, he found, real quick, backstory. This is the story of Lazarus, okay? I jumped right in there, and I want to give a little context to this. This is the story of Lazarus. I'm sure we may most likely have all heard it before. Lazarus is dead, okay? He had word sent to him 2 days prior, hey, you got to come now, otherwise Lazarus is going to die. And Jesus is like, okay, and then he didn't come. He waited for 2 more days, and then he shows up, and it's been a few days now that Lazarus has been in the tomb. He's dead and buried. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. So we see Jesus being requested for his presence to be at a certain place. And he doesn't respond right away. He doesn't come as soon as he's requested. How many of us have ever been there before? We've cried out to God. We've prayed, God, help me. I need your help, like right now, right in this moment, right in this instant. And it seems like God takes his good old time. And we see Jesus just say, okay, you know, Now, obviously, we know that Jesus loves Lazarus, and, you know, he weeps, and then, you know, he calls him out of that tomb and brings the resurrection of the dead and brings him back to life, and he comes through at his timing. But see, we see that Jesus in this story is the most important person because they want him there, but he's not there, and then something seemingly bad happens. And then once he gets there, they're like, oh, if he would have been here, this bad thing wouldn't have happened. But Jesus is like, oh, no, it's okay because I'm here now, and your brother is going to live again. All right? So I want to kind of dive into this concept of the most important person in this room. You know, so we just read a story out of God's Word where we see Jesus show up and bring life to the dead. We see resurrection power. And what the amazing thing is that same resurrection power that's in Jesus is in each one of us. Okay, so we have that power, and we have that opportunity to use it. But let's think for a moment in the concept of the most important person in the room. Jesus is always, and always should be, the most important person. But let's talk about some real-life, everyday examples. So here today, I dug this up and dusted this thing off. Okay, this is a picture of two young baby-faced people in a tuxedo and in a wedding gown. It is actually Linda and I's wedding picture. Okay, now, this thing, it hurts me to say this, but this thing is like over 17 years old. Well, I suppose on one thing, it's a good thing. It's something to celebrate. But on the other hand, I'm like, oh my goodness, it's already been this many years. I still got to get this thing figured out, you know. I still got a lot to learn. I'm still in training. But one thing about this, though, is when we think of a bride, okay, that day is like her day, right? She is the most important person in that room. When she walks in, what does everybody do? Everybody stands at their feet to give her some honor, to give her some respect, okay? And then all the attention is put on her. Like, she gets to go, you know, to the salon and get her nails done. She gets to go to the beautician and get her hair done, you know. I mean, everything is surrounding about her, okay? Obviously, you know, I don't think I've ever seen a bride that is not pretty. You know, that is not, you know, done up. Special attention is paid to her, and she is made beautiful. All right? And so it's her day. Now, the other guy in this picture is kind of sort of needed. All right? But it's not really my, like, special day. But I mean, I got to be there, right? She can't marry herself. You know, that would be kind of awkward. But, and so, you know, I got to, like, show up and, you know, get dressed up, take some pictures, and, you know, give her some help here and there. But this is her day. All right, and so all you women in here, I can remember Chad and Amanda's wedding, okay? And I remember the way that Chad looked at Amanda, okay? And we know that that was a very special time, right? That was a special day. But, you know, it's not like, oh, the groom, he's so important. It's more like, it's the bride, and she's most important, and you better get her what she wants, okay? So that's just one example that all the women in here can relate to. And most of the men here, you know, I got some experience with that. I understand how that works. So on her wedding day, a bride is the most important person in the room. Now, maybe a child to a parent or a grandparent, especially when they're playing sports. Have you ever noticed this phenomenon? When you go and your children play sports, okay, you know, we go there to show up to their little league games or their, you know, elementary soccer games or whatnot. We got buttons on, you know, we got pictures, we got number one foam fingers, we got big signs, and we're like, whoa, and you see normally reserved people turn into like maniacs, like these raging fans that are like, oh, no way, you just jipped my kid. I can't believe that. That's a bad call. You know, the refs are like the worst people in the world, you know, and so we're over here. You know, cheering on our kids, and it's just like, I mean, I am a parent too, so I understand this, and I don't think Philip's in here, but he was sitting next to me the first time that my son Caleb, you know, playing as a freshman basketball, hit a three-pointer. I mean, it was like the most exciting thing in the world. Like, I jumped up out of the stands. I usually try to be calm and reserved, and be like, you know, but I just got up, and I just like, yeah! You know, it just was a natural reaction. I'm like, oh, sorry. You know, I'm like, you know, because it was like the coolest thing I've ever seen. You know, my kid actually hit a three-pointer. I never hit a three-pointer when I played basketball. I wasn't good enough. You know, so to see him do something, that was great. But, you know, I mean, I see parents and grandparents just ooh and aah and just, and you could have a team of 9 kids out there playing a sport. And, I mean, the whole team could be wiped off the field and they wouldn't even notice. They'd just be paying attention to their kid or their grandkid, right? You know, they're like the ones that are important. They're the ones that are standing out to them. Okay, they celebrate them. They're excited for them when and the littlest things happen. And they get like a little oddly overprotective. Like, I've never seen like my wife so vicious. Whenever somebody like hits my kid out there on the basketball court, I'm like, babe, this is part of the sport. Like, relax, calm down. If he hits him like that one more time, I'm gonna, like, you ain't gonna do nothing. You're gonna sit right there and you're gonna watch the sport, okay? It's gonna be okay. This has some contact to it. So, you know, so we can think of that example. Those kids are like the most important person in the room right now. And then maybe we'll jump over to, I guess, maybe a little bit more serious matter. A judge. Okay, some of us have been in a courtroom, all right, maybe for good reasons, maybe for not so good reasons, but we've been there. We've seen the legal process. We've seen how these proceedings work. I, unfortunately, have been in there. Mine has been for traffic violations, you know, speeding or driving on expired tags and license and not realizing it. And then, so, but when a judge comes into a room, we have, you know, sometimes a bailiff will say, all rise, you know, and the honorable so-and-so is proceeding, and then they get to bang their gavel, and then court's in session, right? That is their courtroom. They are the most important person in that room. You give them honor, right? You give them respect. You don't mess with them, or they'll toss you out, and you're going to sit in jail longer, right? Or you're going to have a worse situation on your hand. So we give that kind of honor where it's due. We give that kind of respect, you know, to those kinds of people and to these types of situations. But church, we must know that the Lord Jesus is the most important person in any and every room that we are ever in. Now, when I say room, I'm speaking metaphorically. I'm not thinking, only when we're in a room is Jesus important. A room could be any situation that you could be facing. You could be facing a financial difficulty. You know, all of our lives recently in the past few months have been turned upside down, and it's like somebody just keeps shaking them. Just craziness, you know, schooling our kids from home when they were in school, losing jobs or having hours cut or having, you know, to make all kinds of difficult transitions and, you know, just trying to go to the store and can't bring your kids or whatever it might be. You know, we've had financial hardships. We may have had physical, medical challenges that have come our way unexpectedly. But no matter what situation or room that we are in, Jesus is the most important person in that area, in that situation, in that room. Okay, he has the resurrection power that's going to help you to navigate and to overcome and to get through whatever room or situation you find yourself in. Okay, so now it doesn't matter if we are an expert in our field or in our situation. The longer we live in life, we tend to think, you know, I got life experience. I've been through this before. Or we've been at a job. We've been on that job for a long time. And we may be considered a master technician. Or, you know, like like I look at somebody like Roger, who we share a similar field. You know, we both are in accounting. We both pay bills. I mean, that's just exciting stuff, man. I mean, it's the thrill of your lifetime. You should try it sometime. Oh, wait, you guys all do pay bills, right? But so Roger was in his field for a long time. He knew that job like the back of his hand. He was a master or an expert at it. And, I mean, he was training other people. It wasn't like people were coming in and telling him what to do. He was telling them what to do. And maybe even somebody that was higher up in the company but didn't know his area of expertise as well, he could set them straight if they was getting off on, you know, some goofy tangent or something like that. Like, no, this is how we do it, okay? We've all had maybe that kind of area of expertise. You could be a young person, and you can know how to play a video game like nobody's business. And then you're, you know, an old person like me walks up and says, well, hey, you know, why don't you just do this or that? We're like, well, that's not how you do it, okay? But in all of those situations, Pastor has been challenging us to not take any everyday routine situation or just part of life and just keep that to ourselves and just keep that to a point where we got this down pat. You know, we know what to do here. You know, I'll bother God about something else that's bigger. you know, I can handle this. I can handle raising my kids today. You know, all the moms like, well, which I completely understand that. But you know how it is. Like, we just, like, I did that for, I was guilty of that. I go to my job and I just turn on my computer and I just like, eh. You know, but, you know, we have to trust Jesus and make him the most important person in every situation, even in our area of expertise, that we can't neglect his lordship in that area, or he could speak something to us that could help improve something, that could help change something, that could help better something or bring us a breakthrough. We might be thinking that we know what to do and we're doing it every day, but we're still frustrated. We're not moving forward. We don't know what's going on and why can't this be fixed? I know what to do here. Well, if we would stop for a second and say, okay, Jesus, what do you need me to do here? What do you have for me? Why don't you speak to me? Why don't you show me, okay? I'm going to stop trying to figure this out on my own or stop thinking that I have it all figured out, but I'm going to give this to you. So let's read. Let's turn over to the book of Luke, or back to the book of Luke, and read one of my favorite passages of Scripture, Luke chapter 5. Such a powerful story about exactly what we're talking about, where we could think we know something and have it down pat, but if we make Jesus the most important person, and we do what he has for us to do and what he says in his word, then we're going to see something incredible happen out of that. So Luke chapter 5, verse 4 says this, and this is when Jesus is preaching and he's calling some of the disciples first to him, and he's talking to Peter and asking him to push out so he can preach from his boat, okay? So it says this, when he stopped speaking, starting in verse 4, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. Peter is an expert fisherman. He has his own business. He's successful. He knows what to do. He knows what business decisions to make. He knows what weather patterns is. I know we have good fishermen in here. We have good hunters in here. And when somebody comes along and is, you know, a public speaker or a rabbi or a carpenter, but they're not a fisherman, and they try to tell you how to do your job, our first normal reaction is like, who does that joker think he is? Like, I know what to do here. I know how to run this. Like, I'm a fisherman. Like, I'm a professional. Okay? And even Peter was like, okay, Lord, we've done all this, but because you said so, because you're the most important person in this boat, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to give over my wisdom and expertise to what you say. And when he did that, what happened? I mean, an abundance of blessing, a harvest beyond what he could have ever expected. Nets begin to break, having to call people over to help him out. Okay, how many of you guys want Jesus to move in your life like that? When you're believing God for something, for a breakthrough, for wisdom, for direction, okay, for a relationship to be healed, for a situation to just to come under some calmness, some peace. We need God to break through like that, like he broke through for Peter when he just put out his nets and obeyed him, and they began to break. They were so full to just do something that is over and above what we could ask or imagine. Well, you know what? We have a part to play in that, okay? And I believe God will do that for each and every one of you, but we have to acknowledge, because it keeps us humble, that he's the most important person. He's the smartest in the room. He's God. We're not, okay? He is Father God. He is a creator. We are sons and daughters. We are the creation, okay? We have to be in our perspective places, and we have to let him be in his place, okay? So we must be humble and acknowledge this, that he's the most important person, but we have to realize what our part is to play, because we have a very significant role. Okay, because we just look at what Peter just did there. If he would have still been stiff-necked and hard-hearted, and, oh, Jesus, oh, thanks, Jesus, that's nice advice. Move along now, I need my boat back, I need to go get some breakfast and go to sleep. Would he have experienced that? No, I mean, how many situations in our everyday life, How many opportunities are we letting just kind of go on by us? Well, we could be doing something that would bring breakthrough to us, that would bless somebody else, that would give them a victory, give them a breakthrough, let them see us in action as a believer and see what Jesus will do on our behalf. And guys, I'm saying this, I'm preaching to the choir here, okay? So, because, you know, this was challenging for me, because I realized, man, goodness, there's so many opportunities where we just get going in everyday life. We get going in our routines, into our patterns, into, you know, our sense of normalcy. Now, I guess that's one of the things that was good about what we've just went through, was that it kind of shook some of that up, and it kind of helped us kind of refocus and reset and what reprioritize, okay? But, guys, make no mistake, we have to do our part. You are important, too. You're just not the most important person, okay? But you're very important, okay? Because God needs you to do your part. Okay, we have to ask God in faith. We need to invite him into the room of our lives and give him place as Lord. Now, let me reference back to this. I'll go back to the bride. I'll go back to the stunning, beautiful woman in this picture that's still my bride all these years later, and that I'm still thankful for, and I'm still glad that I was able to nab her and then somehow keep her eyes, the wool over her eyes for all these years. But you know what? What's crazy is I know that I was joking earlier about how I didn't really have too much of a part to play, that I really wasn't that important in this situation. But for this, how do you think this even got here? What had to happen for her to even get to this day that she was stunning, that she was the center of attention, that she was the most important person in the room? What had to happen? I had to do my part. I had to wrangle up enough guts to ask her to marry me, to propose to her. I worked two jobs to save up enough money to buy her a ring and then planned for months and had all kinds of people helping me just to get to the point where I could propose to her and ask her to marry me. Now, I kind of knew the answer ahead of time. It wasn't like I was taking a serious risk and I just didn't know how she was going to react. But still, I had to do my part. I had to do what I could do. I had to handle my end of the responsibility, and that was I had to ask. You know, I had to plan and prepare and ask and be ready to do that. So in the same way, you know, God, how do you think God's going to get into the room to be the most important person? How do you think God's going to be able to move on our behalves and on the behalves of those people that are around us that we are assigned to impact, to share the gospel with, to live out our faith in front of? We're going to have to do our part. We're going to have to ask God. We're going to have to invite him along. We're going to have to, you know, God, will you show up and then step out of the way and then let him do what he is going to do? All right, amen? So don't be discouraged. Don't think, well, it doesn't matter what I do. I'm not that important. Jesus is so important. But you're right. He is the most important, but we have to do our part. We have to get him in the room. All right, we have to ask of God in faith. We have to believe in him, okay? So let's look at one last passage of Scripture. We'll go back to the Old Testament in the book of Daniel, a story that you all know and I'm sure are familiar with, and that is the book of Daniel in chapter 3. And so we're going to talk about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Talk about these three men that are about to be thrown into a fiery furnace. Now, I can tell you, just from a little bit of personal experience, I heat with wood. I have a wood-burning stove in my house, and that's how we heat our house whenever it gets cold outside. So for basically about half the year, because the way our weather patterns are, I got a fire going in my house. Now, there's times where the fire is barely going, and there's times when it's going pretty good, and there's times when it is roaring, and it is hot, and I can feel it from several feet away, okay? And I buy welder's gloves to be able to pick up, like, the chunks of wood and everything and put them in there, just because I started out buying regular gloves, and they just kept getting burnt up, and my hands were getting a little too hot for my personal comfort. So I bought some serious gloves. Yeah, I bought some welder's gloves, and I use those things to put wood in because, you know, it's so hot, but I mean, it's a big ordeal. Got to keep all the kids away. Got to make sure that the door is open. I got to put, you know, the wood in there and close it tight and everything. You got to be very careful. I couldn't imagine a huge, like, room that is on fire and that is so hot that it actually kills the guards that are throwing these men into it. Okay, but what got them there in the first place is they took a stand for their faith, for their God, right? You know, Nebuchadnezzar, the king at the time, got some wild, harebrained idea. I don't know where these kings even get this stuff from. I don't know what happens in the mind of a king who's got power, and they just think it's a great idea to build some huge statue and gather everybody together, and when you play this music, then you're all going to bow down and worship it. You know, I guess it seemed reasonable to him at the time. It seems kind of a wacky idea to me, but, you know, hey, that's what he required at the time. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were like, we can't do that. Because we only bow down and we only worship one God, the one true God, the living God, whom we serve. All right? And so they know that they face a pressure-packed situation. They're aware of what might happen to them. But they stand, you know, they bring everybody together, the music plays, everybody else bows down and worship. They stand, and they do not. And then they get narked on. Somebody tells on them, somebody rats them out. Okay? And so they get put into this difficult situation where the king's like, I'm going to give you one last chance. Okay? If you will bow down and worship the statue, you can go free. All is well. Nobody cares about your God. Nobody cares about your faith. Nobody cares about what your little stance is here. Just do what I want you to do, and you'll be on your way. But as people of faith, people that love God, you know, we have standards. We have principles. We have, you know, a God that we worship that we don't put anybody in front of him. So these guys, we'll pick up in Daniel chapter 3, verse 16. And it says this, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. That's kind of a bold thing to say to a king. Like, yeah, we're not really pressured to answer you. But if that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Wow. What a stance of faith. What a powerful place to be to say, God, you are the most important person in this room. We're going to stand, and we're not going to bow down, and you are able to deliver us. But even if you don't, king, you're going to know that we serve our God. And you're going to know that. And you know what? What the amazing thing is that how these guys were tested. But we know that God delivered them, right? We know the rest of the story. We know that they get thrown in there, and they're just walking around there like it's a beautiful day at the beach, you know? Like, this place is nice. I wonder what the specs on this joint are. You know, how many BTUs are going on right now? You know? Yeah. So they're just walking around, and of course, you know, we have the Son of God, you know, the angel of the Lord come and be with them. And the king's like, what is going on there? I thought I only threw three guys in there. He calls them out. They don't smell like smoke. You know, the only thing that gets burned off of them is the ropes, the cords, the things that are binding them together. The snare of the enemy is the only thing that gets removed from them. And they don't even smell. They don't even stink. They're good to go. They're ready. And man, what a great victory. Amen? You know, and this should encourage us. This should set an example for us as believers, because God is no respecter of persons. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we may not be facing a burning, fiery furnace, but we have things that we are facing that's before us right now. Are we going to choose to stand? Or are we going to bow down and give in? Are we going to make God the most important person in every area of our lives? Are we going to put him off to the side here and there a little whenever it's a little bit more comfortable and a little bit more convenient to our situation and to what we're going through at that time? Amen? So, good news, church. God still delivers today. Now, I want to issue a challenge to you. Okay? So, this is your challenge. Now, when our flesh, when it cries out to give in to temptation, when our carnal or sinful nature urges us to cave in to idols and pressures of this world, when our own pride, our own understanding wants us to do something our own way, the way we may have always done it. And we want to give in to a momentary relief instead of continuing the fight of faith. Will you stand and make God the most important person in the rooms of your lives? Will we be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Will we take that stand? You know, each and every day, we have those moments before us. We have those opportunities. Or we can go the way of our flesh. We could go along the way of our anger, of our frustration, of our doubt, of our fear, of our weakness. Or are we going to stand and say, you know what? Devil, I'm not bowing. My God is able to deliver me in every situation, of every temptation, of every trial. And even if God doesn't show up and deliver me right now, how I'm thinking, how I'm feeling, how I want him to, I'm not going to bow down to you. I'm not giving in to anything that you have for me. Amen? Guys, that's where we got to be each and every day. The devil's got to be on notice here, now, in this place tonight, that he's not going to have his way with us in any area of our lives any longer. We will not stand for him. We will not bow down to anything, any type of pressure, any type of fear, any type, even if we've given in to it 100 times, tonight is the night. Today is the day that we make that stand and we do not give in. And even if we have to fight for weeks on end, maybe our deliverance may not, you know, it may come 4 days later than what we want, like Lazarus. But it could be in that very moment like it was for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But either way, everyone's got to be on notice that I am standing for my God. I am not bowing down. I'm not giving in to my flesh, to my fear, to the attack of the enemy. I'm going to stand, I'm going to fight the good fight of faith, and I'm going to see the deliverance of my God because he is faithful. And because it is not in his nature to fail me, to leave me, to forsake me. I may have to put down my pride. I may have to adjust my approach. I may have to humble myself and say, I'm no longer the most important person in this room, in this situation, but I'm going to set myself to the side, and Jesus, here you are. Just like when Jesus comes in to the room, just like with the bride, we're going to rise and see our Savior come in. We're going to rise and give Jesus respect. When Jesus comes in the room, just like the cheering, crazy, wild parent, we're going to cheer our Savior on. We're going to give him praise. We're going to get loud. We're going to get excited. We're going to give him what he deserves. When Jesus, the most important person, comes in the room, we're going to give him honor like we would a judge. We're going to give him respect. When he says something, okay, that's what goes. We can't argue with it because it's the law. It's been laid down. No more devil. You ain't playing with me no more. I'm not allowing myself to be played. I'm not participating in these games anymore. This stops here. It stops now. Amen. Let's give Jesus a hand clap of praise. What I want to do is I just want to take a few minutes here. If you guys would stand to your feet, you know, I'll get you out of here. I wanted you guys to get your money's worth because you took your time to come in here tonight, and we're thankful for that. But I just want to take a few minutes. We're going to sing this song that's familiar to us, that we know, that we love, but let it be our heart's cry tonight. And as you guys are worshiping for just a few minutes here, as we close out tonight, I want you guys to take the time to whatever the Lord identifies in your heart that you need to take a stand on, that you need to make him the most important person in that room, in that area of your life, that you would take the time to do that with God tonight. As you're worshiping, pray, cry out to him, lay things down to him, repent of things, change things, commit new things to him, whatever it might be. But this is a moment in time between you and your Heavenly Father. Now, if you need prayer for anything, I'll be hanging out right up here. You can come on down and I'll be happy to pray with you. Okay, but if not, we're going to spend a few minutes and we're going to give God just a few more minutes of our time before we head off into our nice weekend, all right?
When you walk into the room, everything changes. Darkness starts to tremble at the light. heart's burning. Nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship you. We worship you. Sing it tonight. We love you. We love you. We love you, and we can't get enough. All this is for you, Jesus. You are welcome here. You are welcome here, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you. We welcome you, Lord, here.
Father, we're so thankful for your presence. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are here moving. We thank you that we get to experience you in a very real, very tangible way tonight, God. We thank you for how you've spoke to us, for how you've ministered to us, for how you've stirred our faith, for how you've convicted or challenged or changed us. God, I pray for strength. God, I pray, God, that we would live and walk by faith. God, I thank you that we would reprioritize any and every area that we need to put you first, to make you the most important person in every room and every area of our life, God. We're so thankful for what you've done tonight, God. I pray a blessing upon these people. I pray for your favor, your protection upon them as they go, that you would keep them, God, and that they would fall more in love with you each day, God. I thank you for that, God, and I just pray that the blessing of God would be upon them. Lord, I just give you glory. I give you praise. We thank you for it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's give Jesus a hand clap of praise. Thank you guys for coming out tonight. Pastors will be back with us on Sunday morning. We'll see you guys then. All right, have a great weekend, and you're dismissed.